Well, you've heard repeatedly that increasing supply is critical to alleviating the housing crisis. My next guest is a former developer who's spent the more recent years of his career working with businesses to donate their time and skills to repurpose vacant buildings for people in need. He's also knocking on the doors of Power in a bid to secure private investment for affordable housing on a large scale. Robert Pradelin is the Executive Director of Housing All Australians and one of its founding members. Robert, a very warm welcome to Changing Australia.
Good morning, Sally.
So you've had a bit of a life shift here, Robert. You were working extensively in the private sector as a developer. What prompted you into this change to look at how resources could be rallied to provide housing to more vulnerable Australians?
It started with a cup of coffee with my daughter at Undergrave Street in front of Flinders Street Station when a homeless person came up and asked us for some money for that night. And we gave him a few coins, and then we started a conversation because a few days earlier in one of the main news channels, there was a story about how the grand hall above Flinders Street Station had been empty for 10 years, and below it we had people sleeping rough. And I asked the rhetorical question, I wonder how many buildings in Melbourne are empty. And then we started working with Launch Housing and City of Melbourne, and I got a phone call one day from the City of Melbourne saying the ABC News has heard about the idea and they like it. So I rang up Guy Stainer, who was the reporter at the time, and I was on the news, and then the next day on Neil Mitchell, and all of a sudden, all these people from very wealthy families to a homeless guy that found me on LinkedIn, and he said, I'm one of the great unwashed, thank you for trying, and everything in between said, we know we've got a problem, just tell us what you want us to do. But one of the people was on a board of an old aged care facility. And they just bought built a new building in South Melbourne. The old one was actually sitting vacant, 52 rooms. This is Casper Care. And they said, does that building fit what you're trying to do? And I said, well, yes, it does. So cutting a long story short, we had Metricon, their staff, suppliers, refurbish 32 rooms of that 52-room facility at no cost. We gave it to the YWCA because they do the hard stuff, the people stuff. And in over 4 years, they helped over 140 women stabilise their lives at no cost to government. That was the start. We've done 5 projects in Victoria. We're now across the country, all through businesses that care. And we're up over 125,000 room nights provided by the private sector at no cost to government to the not-for-profits to manage vulnerable people. Because you started off by saying we need to build a lot of homes, and we do. But we need a pressure relief valve. Let's use some of these existing buildings that are sitting vacant, waiting for the next development cycle, as short-term shelter. And I believe this interview came off from Carla Raines from Cocoon.
That's right.
And we did a building with Mervac, and we refurbished the 12 empty rooms for Carla and Cocoon at minimal cost. It was a $1.7 million build. We did it for $250,000 and a philanthropist paid for that. And that's how we can get some short-term pressure relief by refurbishing these buildings that are sitting there currently vacant and they're 80% complete. It's a bit of a no-brainer, to be quite frank with you.
Mm. I mean, people can visualise that in some ways, that here's all these buildings that have got space that's vacant. I'm wondering about some of the connections and corporate capability as well, because sometimes when people are reaching the end of their career or going into early retirement, people aren't quite sure how to deploy their skills in another way. How much of an underutilised resource is that? People who know how to get things done, who know people who have other resources and so on. Has that been part of the process as well, to tap into networks and get those to light up and become part of this process?
It is all about the networks and relationships, because part of that is actually getting the message out there to people. So yes, we've had a few people that are sort of retired, but what does retirement actually mean? People say, are you retired? No, I just do things that I like at the moment. So it's all a matter of getting a very clear purpose of what we're trying to do. This housing crisis is too big for government to solve on its own. It's an entire community problem, and that includes business. Because Housing All Australians was formed as the business voice in this discussion. We've had a lot of the social enterprise, the community housing providers talking about this for decades, but now there was no one representing the business voice. So we view this with an economic lens as well as a social lens, because it's not in our economic interest to allow this to happen. And if you could just give me a few minutes just to explain what that means. We've seen homelessness increase over this country in the last decade. Homelessness is the canary in the coal mine to a much bigger issue in the whole housing continuum. And we're now having workers sleeping in cars that have got jobs. And when we're allowing a country to go down that path, we're going to be experiencing homelessness increase in the next decade far beyond what people expect. And we'll end up like San Francisco, where people one day will wake up and say, how did this happen? Well, it happened slowly because we're allowing it to be normalised. And that's something we should not do.
Robert, can I play devil's advocate for a bit? These are repurposing and shorter term availability in many cases by the sounds of it. Why not a longer term view, building things from scratch or having places that you can give people the keys and that's it, they're sorted?
Well, again, it's about the low hanging fruit. These buildings are actually there. The government's spending a lot of money trying to create new buildings, and that's required. But being in the property industry my whole life, that takes a long lead time. It seems a bit unfair to me, and again, we're politically agnostic, where the short-term politics is to criticise someone that's got an ambitious goal that needs to be ambitious, otherwise we'll never reach it. And these things take 4 to 5 years to actually materialise. Mm. What are we doing in the short term? So it is an opportunistic approach to say, let's use the existing buildings that already exist. Let's refurbish it with the private sector, because there's a lot of goodwill in the private sector. And we've now coined the collective term compassionate capitalism, because everyone's got a business that they need to actually be sustainable, but it doesn't mean they don't care about vulnerable Australians. And through that, we want to grab the national attention. And as your program states, change Australia, because that's exactly what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. What's this whole process? What have you learnt so far, do you think?
Well, if you go back to the original days, I thought it was just about providing shelter. But what I've learned is the wraparound services to these vulnerable people are actually far more important than shelter. So it actually is a collaborative thing. So look, that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned. It's not just about the shelter, it's about the support services. And it's about getting people out of that mindset and providing something safe. Because once they're safe, they can get their life back in control and then go back into normal society. So, you know, the mental health side of these things is really underplayed, and I think we just need to be a bit more considerate, a bit more compassionate, but we need to prepare the foundations for a future Australia. And we believe that housing should not be treated anything other than it's a fundamental infrastructure for a future prosperous country. Because as human beings, without shelter, we have unintended consequences that manifest in physical and mental health, family violence, policing, justice, and long-term welfare dependency. We have to get ourselves out of that rut and start to prepare the future for our grandchildren.
What have you seen, and what have your thoughts been in what you've seen with women in family and domestic violence situations who are desperate? Their lives depend on having somewhere to go.
It's really quite tragic. And we're involved in helping a documentary called Undercover that's now on Netflix. It's a story about women over 50 being the fastest growing cohort of homeless in Australia. And what I learned through that is that there's not enough shelter for these ladies to actually reside to permanently in some respects, because otherwise they go back to the perpetrator. So it's a really, really difficult problem. I look at it from the outside because we don't get involved in the hard stuff. As I said earlier, we get involved in trying to get the shelter. But this is something as a society that needs to reflect our values of compassion and equity and concern. And I got to tell you, I'm just inundated and humbled and overwhelmed by the support of the private sector in this sort of area, because we all actually care.
Does the city of Melbourne look different to you now that you understand more of what's going on?
Yes, city of Melbourne. Look, COVID had a big impact on the city, and I think the longer term shutdown did affect people's mental health, and we're starting to see some unintended consequences that none of us like, including the Lord Mayor. And I know he's trying, but it's not a easy thing to turn around. But yes, it does look different to what it was pre-COVID. And that's something, again, we all have to put our shoulder to the wheel and actually try and get the city and the country out of any malaise. Because ultimately, during this housing crisis, we've got the building industry that's got costs that have soared, and yet nothing's economically viable to some extent, and yet we're in a housing crisis. This is where government must step in and build the housing our country needs. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster in the future. So, look, it's not an easy problem to solve. We all live in houses, therefore we've got an opinion that we think we know what to do. Well, the reality is it's far more complex than that, and it requires all of us to lean in with a very clear purpose of how do we set up the country for the future? You must get back to fundamental human needs, and shelter is one of the primary ones.
How important has listening been in this whole process?
From my perspective?
Yes.
Well, look, listening is all part of it. And again, without listening, you can't understand where a perspective's coming from to then use your knowledge to get around it. I'll give you a very prime example. There is a confusion about the term affordable housing across the country. People think it's social housing. It's just totally confused. And part of our engagement is we're looking at doing a digital register for all affordable housing obligations across the country because there is no data. Government does not know where these things are. And we need to centralise it to allow future housing policy to actually be prepared. But one of the key stakeholders is the property industry, real estate agents. And Jacob came from the REIV and I've had many discussions and Jacob said, look, Rob, we can lease to key workers because they're, you know, people on, you know, incomes apparently low, but don't ever ask us to lease affordable housing. Well, affordable housing is meant to be for those key workers. So unless we actually start to look and understand where people are coming from, this is only one aspect, there's all the others, we can't find solutions that actually meet everyone's needs. So with the real estate industry, we're now trying to define key workers through income bands and drop the word. And we've got realestate.com involved, we've got REIV involved, REI Australia, New South Wales, Tasmania. We need to listen to then structure solutions around all parties' concerns and trying to get a scale solution that's going to take 2 or 3 decades to actually deliver, because that's how long it's going to take, and set the country up on a pathway that... I've been in this industry for a long time. I can see exactly where we're heading, and it's going to be disaster. It's going to be civil unrest in 20, 30 years' time. We have to start taking action now collectively, and that's government, that's business, that's the not-for-profit sector, and that's the entire community. We must lean in together because progress only moves at the speed of trust. And unless you develop that trust, nothing actually happens.
Robert, it's been such an insightful discussion, and thank you so much for sharing some of what you've learnt in this whole process, and I look forward to seeing where it all goes. Thank you again.
It's a pleasure, and thank you.
It's Robert Pradlin, a former developer, now Executive Director of the organisation Housing All Australians and one of its founding members, my guest today on Changing Australia.